A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacy.
Today we're with Lito Baldato. I appreciate you joining us here today, and we're going to learn a little bit about you and your carnivore journey. So can you do us a favor and introduce yourself real quick here before we dive in?
Sure. So I'm Lito, and I'm originally from the Philippines, but I'm now living here in South Ogden, Utah for work.
Okay.
So I've been carnivore since May of this year.
Okay. Very cool. So you married, have children?
No, I'm still single.
Single, ready to mingle, huh?
Yep.
Awesome. Very cool. So you said you were born in the Philippines. When did you actually come to the States?
Quite a bit of a long story. I mean, I've been in the States since 2013 to 2017 as a student. So yeah, but that, and then I had an internship at the last leg of my, you know, university life.
Mm-hmm.
Then fortunately that internship turned out to be an employment. So it turned out to be an employment opportunity. And unfortunately, they took 6 years, well, because of the pandemic and all, took my company a while for me to get back here.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, you speak English very well, I might say.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's awesome. Okay. So you started the carnivore diet, you said, in May of this year. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So why exactly did you start the carnivore diet?
Well, truth is, actually, I started doing keto, to be honest, back in March. But I'm type 2 diabetic. I still consider myself still type 2 diabetic because, we need to check all of those. The Philippines have some tough exit requirements before they allow you to leave. So we have this rigorous medical checkup. And that's where I found out that I'm type 2 diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, of course, in the Philippines, if you don't have enough funds, pretty much even diabetes is a death sentence,
right,
or a commoner. So the thing is, so we had to bring our blood sugar levels down, and they pretty much drowned me in meds. And then I said, I'm sure there is some way on how to do it without taking a lot of these medications. And that's where I came into keto first and then immediately hopped into carnivore. So there's a lot of influencers, I mean, out there. Dr. Barry is my main, the one that I follow the most.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm right there with you as far as Dr. Barry. He was extremely influential for me. And if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have given this a try because it sounded so crazy.
At sometimes so, crazy is all we got, you know. I mean, even if you look at, I don't want to be specific unless we want to delve into it deeper.
Right.
But if you look at the practices of carnivore, you know, just before this, I had a chat with my family and they saw me eating 2 New York strip steaks and I said, okay, this is all I'm going to eat for a day. I'm going to eat, next time I'm going to eat tomorrow. They said, that's crazy. Ain't you going to get a heart attack?
That's funny. Yeah. I get that a lot too. The heart attack thing and, you know, you're just going to block up your arteries, you know, it's going to look like mud and Yeah, I get all kinds of crazy, weird comments, but it's actually, I've found it to be the opposite, which is also insane to me. So what's a typical day look like for you in terms of what you eat?
Well, typical day, as much as possible, I'm trying to eat. Of course, I got to have my coffee.
Right.
So I know this ain't carnivore. It's okay, but I got to have my coffee for a bit now. I'm trying to wean it down. Mm-hmm. And then I work out. And after that, I'm going to have my one meal a day. So typically it's like 2 New York strip steaks or 1 big ribeye.
Okay.
And yeah, just toss it in the air fryer and have it medium rare. And that's it. That's all I'm going to eat for a day. Now, occasionally, I still have weakness with diet sodas, but just before I'm eating, I actually drank this sparkling water. So okay. This is
that's
what
water?
Actually, yes, it's sparkling water, liquid death.
Sounds scary.
the unflavored one. So it's our San Pellegrino or Perrier. So at least that's what I used to, I still have that effervescence, those bubbles, that carbonation without the sugar, without the sweeteners. So, yeah, so far that gets me on track.
Okay. So you started a carnivore diet for diabetes. Is there anything specific that you were looking to do? Like maybe just make your symptoms a little bit better, or did you think you might be able to get rid of it, or?
Well, yeah, that's one of them. And I was severely obese back then. Like I was, okay, just for concept, I'm not even 5 feet. I'm very short. I'm 4'11".
Okay.
So if you're going to look at my ideal BMI, it should be like around 120, 125 pounds, around that range. So, and I was 200 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Before. So it's very, very unhealthy. And for me being short, it's really hard to keep that body weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, so I said, okay, eventually I'm going to work on it. But then this diabetes thing. So what used to be an option turned out to be an obligation now. So yeah, so I lost the weight, but so the reason why I'm doing carnivore is, first of all, that my diabetes, as much as possible, I want to reverse it and then lose some weight in the process.
Okay. Did you get any labs done or tests or anything like that to kind of know where you started?
Well, right now, because I'm still new here in the U.S., so pretty much, you know, my visa is so limited. Like my insurance just kicked in back in June, so I don't really have a lot of funds in there to do all of the complete lab work.
Right.
But I'm planning to do a complete one through April. Again, through Dr. Barry, he introduced me to ownyourlabs.com.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily they have an office near in Ogden. It's LabCorp. I'm planning to do that. But for the past, I actually did a lab back in March. So that's a part of my exit requirement, you know, to get out of the Philippines. And then April, it's actually for me, I paid for it myself. Okay. I just want to see how this keto thing has been doing for me for 1 month. So it's not that really relevant, but I dropped my A1C from 12 to 9.4 at that time.
Wow.
So yeah, but it's still 1 month. So April. And then, so April when I was here, so of course, a lot of adjustments. It's still snowing here when I got here. So I'm still taking my 4 pills a day. And then by May, or actually end of April to be exact, I said, okay, I see this Dr. Barry guy. I think I'm going to try to do this carnivore thing. Besides, I'm not living with my family anymore. I can control what's in and out of my fridge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the time that I did it. And then in August, I just had my A1C, you know, not to be heavy on the insurance. It was 5.8.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
Yeah, 9.4 to 5.8. And then in November, I had another A1C check. It's still at 5.8. So we're not quite there yet. It is great, but it's not quite there yet. Right. But the thing is, I've been winding down on my meds. So from 4 pills a day back in March, now I'm down to like 3 to 4 pills a week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing that in terms of your wallet as well?
Well, at first, it's kind of expensive because, well, of course, meats, they're not really that cheap, number one. But eventually, yes, because, well, I'm cutting down on my meds. I'm not buying a lot of pills this time. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, even, well, my doctor, well, I got actually two doctors. I consider Dr. Barry as my doctor. And then there's this another one, the local doctor here. He's actually encouraging me to buy a continuous glucose monitor. But I said, no, I don't mind a finger prick once in a while. I'm still doing old school. And to be honest, right now, I mean, it's gotten so stable that I'm not even doing it religiously like every day.
Okay.
So that's another thing I can cut corners on, really.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what, by your estimate, when do you think you're going to be diabetes free?
Well, I'm going to be estimating around March or April.
Okay.
Well, let's face it. I mean, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. This is the time where we fall off the wagon a lot.
Right.
And not to mention, you know, yeah, a lot of things, a lot of activities. Yeah, we got Christmas activities at church, at work, and all of those. And sometimes it's just hard to say no. But then soon, a lot of my friends began to understand me. Like yesterday, so we had this activity at church, and then they're having hot chocolate. So of course, they're gonna bring their Milos, they're gonna bring their Stephens, they're gonna bring all of those sugar-loaded chocolate milks. And then I said, okay, I'm gonna keto-fy mine a bit. So I brought my heavy cream because I don't want to use milk.
Right.
And of course, try to spice things up. Brought my milk frother, trying to make a latte art out of that hot chocolate. It turned out to be a fun activity, and all. Chipped in actually enough to me. So eventually my friends began to understand this lifestyle, even though it might seem weird at first.
Right.
But then they saw the change in me back when I started in May.
Yeah. So in terms of weight loss, what's your total weight loss so far?
Well, so far right now I lost 70 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. I was clocking like around 205, 210 pounds. Now I'm down like, I'm hovering between 130 to 135, 136, around that.
Okay. Well, that's got to feel good.
A lot better, actually.
That's awesome. Did you have trouble like I did when I was heavier with tying your shoes?
Not only that, really. Even just sitting straight, be honest, because my tummy is so big. And yeah. I used to have back problems too. Now I'm actually experiencing the reverse, you know, because I'm, okay, how does it feel? As if like, this is my first time my body has ever felt this light, really, my whole life. Like, if you can imagine me as a teenager back in high school, my parents even need to make custom pants for me because, well, kind of funny how I look at it now. They still fit me now that I'm adult, but they kind of look like a pants and shorts hybrid. It's like 3/4 of them.
Right.
Yeah, just because I was too obese back then and before. They just said, okay, you're young, you're going to grow up, you're going to lose that weight as you grow older. But unfortunately, due to this standard diet we've been having, then I didn't lose all that weight. Yes, I grew taller. I grew taller. I look normal. I look more normal, but I'm still in that overweight, obese class.
I'm right there with you in terms of feeling lighter, man. I have so much energy that I'm actually running around now and stuff, and it's, I don't feel embarrassed to go running, you know, because I feel like my man boobs are flopping.
Oh, wait. Yeah, yeah.
No, you can just feel everything moving, and it just makes you feel uncomfortable, so you don't run. But now I have no problem with that. I feel super light.
You talk about energy as well. You know, 6 years ago, I could drink 4 cans of energy drinks and still sleep like a baby at night.
Wow.
Well, just to keep me that sustained, believe me, I got a rainbow color of energy drinks which open my office drawer because I just need that to function. And now, well, I'm winding down on my coffee. So, you know, little by little, I'm using smaller and smaller cups because I just don't feel the need. And now if you make me drink caffeine, like around 10 o'clock in the morning, I won't be able to go to sleep at night because why would I need that energy boost for?
Right. Yeah, for sure. How is your sleep now?
It's a lot better. Yeah, it's a lot better. So pretty much, how do you call it that? Sorry, I'm bad at these terminologies. How do you call it? The circadian rhythm? Is that mm-hmm. how you call it? Your yep. sleep schedule? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot more normal now. Although for me, well, with my situation, because I work in IT, so pretty much I work round the clock anytime anyone calls me.
Mm-hmm.
I go to bed at 6 or 5:30 and I wake up at 1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And 1, that's when I'd be doing my workout. So that's where my typical day starts. Drink my coffee that gets smaller and smaller every morning, workout, have my big ribeye, and then enjoy the rest of my day.
That's awesome. So you say you're one meal a day. Is that by choice, or is that just your body's natural way of eating?
Well, at first it's by choice because, again, please don't forget that this is Dr. Barry's. So I believe it's his interview with Dr. Ben Bickman. So then there's two of them, kind of two professionals talking. So one meal a day. So that gives your body time. That gives your insulin to actually wean down. Contrary to what the other doctor says, you say you need to eat like a child, like you need to eat like every 2 or 3 hours so you won't crash. But they said, okay, you need to have your insulin rest. You don't need to make it like consistently high. So, okay, I'm going to do two MAD. So I'm going to do two meals a day at first. I try to wind it down. Intermittent fasting, pretty much that also comes in. And I try to go one meal a day. It's kind of hard. So I was having a pack of sardines, still keeping it carnivore. So I still have a pack of sardines at lunch, and that's all I eat. So that's my two meals a day. But then eventually, you know, that automatic portion control happens on your body. I don't feel like eating anymore. So before, believe me, Adam, I can eat two New York strip steaks. I can eat six slices of bacon and two eggs before. That's my one meal a day. And then eventually, okay, I think I'm going to wean down on my bacon. I'm going to take. So that's automatic portion control. That's your body telling you that's enough. And then now it's, I guess it's not by choice anymore. It's like how my body responds to it. And I like it.
That's awesome. So have you seen an improvement, or is it about the same or worse maybe in terms of your budget that you spend on food?
Well, like I said, that automatic portion control really helps me with my budgeting too. Like if I'm going to go to Sam's Club right now, I'm going to buy that New York strip steak, that 4-pack. Sorry, I'm cheating out. So I'm just buying that generic Member's Mark or, you know, those generic brands. I'm not really after the good cuts as long as it's meat.
Okay. Right.
So I'm getting the ones that I can afford. And before that New York strip steak, I'm going to swag it in one day. Now it becomes 2 days. And now when I'm not feeling hungry, I think one New York strip steak is enough. So right now, my budget that's supposed to be for 2 weeks, I extended it up to a month. I don't even need to shop until Christmas.
Wow. That's impressive. So overall, you're spending less than you normally would have eating a standard American diet.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Way less, because less snacking. And sorry, I don't want to be overly specific, but let's just call it the standard diet.
Right.
Because even in the Philippines, even the Filipinos are actually doing this. So they always have a snack. They always have, it's even way less healthier in the Philippines, because over here, at least when people are trying to pretend they eat healthy, they got these almonds, they got these cashews because they can afford it. In the Philippines, what we have is like stir-fried corn kernels.
Really?
And yeah, they put it in small plastic bags. And that's what you're going to eat for a snack. So imagine it's a plant and then it's fried in seed oils. So it's worse. Yeah. And of course, it has some sugar on it too and a lot of those crap. And top it off with some soft drink to boot. So
ever had somebody describe to me what corn was? I could never think of it in a different way. It's actually grass seed. Because corn is a tropical grass. So I'm eating grass seed right now. That just sounds weird. I'm going to stop. I can't imagine just picking up a bag of grass seed and eating it, you know?
Grass seed, yeah, and then you have some seed oils on top of that.
Yeah, that's just not good at all overall, for sure. And the corn itself has sugar in it too. So and then you said they're adding that on top. Not good. So that's good that you brought that up about, you know, how people are eating in the Philippines. That was one of the questions I was wanting to ask you. So overall, do you feel like people in the Philippines are about the same in terms of being overweight, or are they a little less overweight than they are here in the States?
Well, it's a little bit different because there's this misconception towards us Asians. I'm even seeing that, okay, a lot of Asian people are eating rice. Well, I came from a family of rice farmers. We still have a rice farm in the Philippines.
Okay.
So they say a lot of Asian people are eating rice, but how come they're still very slim? So there's this huge economic difference that we got to understand, okay? Over here in the U.S., food is not really a problem financially. Like I said, even Dr. Berry says this, when you really want to go cheap carnivore, you can just go to McDonald's get a quarter pounder for like, quarter pounder costs like $3-4. Get right. A quarter pounder, throw away everything but leave the patty, and there you go. Boom, you're carnivore. You just right. had your fair share of ground beef for that day, for that meal, and you're good to go. In the Philippines, it's not that way. And people got to work hard. So there's this starvation that plays with it, you know? So again, sorry, I keep quoting Dr. Barry on this, but you know how the people of old work, you know, how the slaves work to make them work, to make them active. What do people feed them? They feed them grains. They feed them bread. Will that keep them full? No, definitely. Will they feed them ribeyes or meat? No, that's reserved for the higher ups. That's reserved for the kings, for the pharaohs. But they're going to feed them rice. They're going to feed them bread. They're going to feed all of these grains just to keep them going. And right. plus, in the Philippines, equate that with poverty. That's why you get these people not maybe not gaining weight because, well, they've been, they deprived of proper nutrition because they can't afford the good stuff. And then worst comes to worst, you got bread on the table, you got rice on the table. At least you have something to eat. That's what you got to be thankful for.
Right. You got so, you have an energy source, I guess.
Yeah. So that's one thing that we could just default to keep us going. Unlike over here in the US, you know, well, it's pretty cheap. You just go to Walmart, you can find a cheap can, you can find a cheap can of Spam.
Right.
And you could actually call that a meal. In the Philippines, I wish we do have that, but we don't. It's just that financial situation that we're in. Although you can buy rice for, you can buy rice for like a nickel.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you can buy a cup of rice for a nickel. That's the cheapest one that you can buy for a meal. And then, again, if you're really, really poor, because believe me, I've been through this situation where I really got to save up. I really got to squeeze myself through poverty. Sometimes you just have that cup of rice, and then you just add ketchup on top of it and call it a meal. And come to think of it from a medical standpoint, that's loads of carbs right there. That rice alone is a lot of carbs, plus that ketchup with all of that sugar.
Yeah. For sure. That's definitely not good. That's a recipe for disaster if you do that long term, for sure.
Yeah. But that's what all we can afford. For 10 Philippine pesos, that's what you can afford. You can buy that cup of rice, and you can buy that mini sachet of ketchup that you can squeeze on your rice.
Wow. So what do you feel like the issue is in terms of why things are so available here in the United States versus not being as available in the Philippines? Why do you think that might be?
Well, it's just that, I don't know, maybe it's just that country difference where everything is just widely available here, I guess. I mean, come to think of it, if you're going to eat McDonald's here, people are going to realize you're almost broke because you're saving up. But in the Philippines, if you go to these fast food chains, they're going to think you're one of the upperclassmen because you're eating at a fast food. You're not making your own food.
That's an interesting perspective, especially, you know, somebody like myself has always lived here. I never really thought of things that way. That's an interesting perspective. So what's your goals long-term with eating carnivore?
Well, to be honest, I'm planning on keeping this as my lifestyle. I won't really call carnivore a diet for me. This is a lifestyle that I want to adhere to from this point forward. And I'm fine. I'm fine with it, even though my entire family is against it. Yeah, because, I'm done looking because I already found it. So, but I was looking for a sustainable way because I said, I'm for sure, I don't want to rely on meds forever. That's a very, very terrible situation that we're at. Even some of my friends here, they're going the shortcut route. I don't know if you've heard of Ozempic, Adam.
I have heard of that.
Okay. So some of them, you know, they're boasting that their A1C is way below diabetic range, but they're taking Ozempic. So they're still eating their normal standard diet. So like we had this Christmas activity, we made a gingerbread house, and of course they're snacking on the candy. So they're still eating on their standard diet, and they're proud of themselves that their A1C is like around 5.1, but they're still taking Ozempic. But then I said, dude, you're still taking something that's made out of the factory that you're putting in your body. Still, that should be the ideal way. And there is a way that I'm trying to find out right now. Again, I'm not quite there yet. I'm getting there. But this is the way that I could do it by just using, again, sorry, got Dr. Barry on, is the proper human diet.
Absolutely.
And right now, I feel proud of it. That's going to be my lifestyle. And I think I'm going to do it, even though I've already reversed my diabetes. I'm not going back. I'm never going back. Sorry, that's quite a long answer, but that's my long-term thing.
That's great. That's great. So you mentioned your family is against it. Have you come across anybody in your family that maybe is more receptive to what you're doing, or maybe even changed what they're doing because the changes that they see in you?
Well, my mom, she was the first one to become diabetic. And I was, but then again, of course, that's her advice. So when she found out that I was diabetic, she was giving me, okay, make sure you eat a lot of greens. Make sure you eat a lot of grains. Make sure you eat a lot of oatmeal, all of those. And then make sure you eat 4 or 5 times a day so your blood sugar won't drop that low. So, and make sure you avoid red meat, because red meat, they say that time, they cause diabetes and kidney disease.
Wow.
So, okay. So, and then when I'm here, and then I heard Dr. Barry and Kelly Hogan and all of those influencers. Okay. That's totally different, but crazy is what I have. So I guess I'm going to try to do it. And then I lost a lot of weight. And by September, my mom began to notice, hey, you're getting slimmer. And yeah, my A1C is 5.82. You want to give it a try? You want to try this crazy diet called carnivore? And then at first she said, okay, I really don't want to do it, but I'm really running out of options because I'm always having my supplements, eating my greens and grains, and nothing's really happening. So mom, just try carnivore for 3 months, because in the Philippines, money is really a problem. So I was sending money to the Philippines, you know, providing for her. Okay, try this. You're only going to eat meat for the next 3 months until November, end of November. Her A1C dropped from 7 to 6.
Nice.
Yes, I believe it was 7.7 to 6. And before, she was so happy when it drops by 0.2%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huge.
But the thing is, again, there's this poverty issue that we have there. And obviously, you know, I'm just beginning my life here in the U.S., so I can't really support her forever to sustain that diet. And now it's December, you know, I mean, of course, I'm still single. I'm still mingling. So a lot of dating involved. And I still don't have a car, so I still use taxis to go around. Mm-hmm. So I said, Mom, I'm sorry, I can't send you something for your carnivore this year. And then I guess I can't continue my carnivore diet then, because I just really can't afford it. Meats are so expensive here. So, but Mom, I said, you can buy eggs. You can try to cheap out. You can buy hot dogs, you know, just get the lowest sugar content of all. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to convince her to do that. But then again, of course, still that brainwashed effect from the old knowledge of the doctors we have now, she still has that and she's still holding on to that. Oh. And yeah. And plus, like I said, the poverty effect, like you say, meat is too expensive. I don't want to overdose myself on hot dogs and eggs because it's too tiring if you're just going to eat hot dogs and eggs forever.
Right.
But I don't know, man. But the thing is, with this carnivore, I'm really not that picky with my recipes. Right now, I can eat beef all week and I'm good.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I could eat any. It doesn't matter to me. Meat is just a way to sustain yourself, and it's not a source of pleasure for me, really.
Exactly. Well, food is not really should be a source of pleasure. If food is your source of pleasure, then that's where all the problems come in.
For sure. So in terms of eating on a carnivore diet in the Philippines, for the average person, or let's say average income person, do you feel like it's out of reach for most people?
Well, again, Adam, there's a lot of ways. I mean, if there's a will, there is a way.
Right.
So, you know, if by only chance you're eating carnivore, is you're going to eat those canned tuna, which is the same price as go buying a regular meal at a fast food store or half the cost of that, and that's all you're going to eat, you can actually make that. It is very possible, but, you know, you're limited with the options. If you're looking for variety, that's going to be really, really hard for you, because, like I said, you're just going to be limiting yourself with hot dogs, eggs, and canned meat, and that's what you're going to eat until you get a point in time where, you know, you're not really looking for that variation anymore, or you're having that, like what happened to me, you're going to have that automatic portion control where I'm not okay. I'm only going to eat this few things today because that's what my body can handle for this day. Until that kicks in, it's going to be really, really hard for an average income earner over there in the Philippines to try carnivore, at least trying it the right way. But again, I'm saying it's hard, but I'm saying it is very possible still.
You've heard that we're doing this documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. There's that word again, proper human diet, which we did.
Love it.
Thank you. Permission and the agreement with Dr. Berry to actually use that in the title. And we thank him immensely for that. So in terms of what this documentary has the potential to do, what does it mean to you for this to become a reality?
I believe it's going to be an amazing world out there. I mean, hospitals, well, to be honest, right now, sorry, I may go off a little bit of a tangent here. To be honest, right now, my local doctor here pretty much realizes that I'm doing a carnivore diet and realizes that I won't be seeing him that much. And now he's trying to put me on statins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's trying to put me on statins. And then he's trying to bank on that thing that I said, okay, it's just going to help you lose more weight. Then again, the thought came into my mind, still, I'm ingesting something that's made from the factory and put it in my body. I really don't want that thought. So anyways, to answer your question regarding that, it means a lot for me because, well, Sina, imagine we're just going back to the roots of what we once were. If you're going to kind of think of it, and I'm not really a big history buff, but if you're going to kind of think of it, people lives in like, it's normal for them to live like 100 years old or even more back in the day. Now you're lucky, I believe, if you even reach 80 or heck, if you even reach 70. Imagine what it would be if we all adopt this carnivore, this proper human diet. Heck, I would love to see my great-great-grandkids, Adam. That's going to be amazing.
Absolutely.
And when I get to see my grandkids, I'm not that man with a cane. Heck, I can go hike with them.
Right.
So I can go hike with them. I can go play with them. I can do all of those things without the restriction of the diets that we have right now. The improper guidelines that has been set that we've been led to believe all this time. So imagine the world where you can see your grandkids, your great-great-grandkids, and you're still feeling like you're in your prime. That's amazing.
Absolutely. In terms of the documentary for me, obviously it's important. That's why I jumped on board with the project. But I've always felt like there's just nothing out there that can relate to the common man or the common person in terms of, you know, what is possible out there and what kind of options are available. You know, just to live 46 years and never even hear of this type of a diet or way of eating or lifestyle is insane to me. It's like the answer was right there in front of my face the whole time. Shop
exactly.
From this section of the grocery and not from this section of the grocery, and you can be healthy. Like it's frustrating to no end that the answer was there all along. And that's why I feel this documentary is so important, that, you know, maybe we can reach a much wider audience with examples of people that have also done that similar travel, you know, as in your story, you know, being able to reverse your type 2 diabetes and live a full life and, you know, eventually go hiking with your great grandchildren. You know, that's what this documentary means to me. It's just it's everything right now, and it's something that we're pushing forward and putting a lot of effort into to make sure that it becomes a reality.
And I really hope this documentary doesn't just reach the US. I hope it reaches the whole world too. Because, well, I got a lot of folks in the Philippines. Like I said, because of the poverty situations in the Philippines, even just diseases that could be reversed, like type 2 diabetes, it's a death sentence for them. Okay, I got type 2 diabetes, or worse, I got type 1, which means I got to buy insulin every day. And then what if I don't have the money anymore? I'm just going to roll over and wait for my end. But
yeah,
dude, this is possible. You could reverse it yourself, and you don't need to even break the bank to reverse it. It will limit your options when you eat, but it is possible, man.
Right. Yeah. It's so important that people have this knowledge, which is, you know, one of the reasons why we're doing this interview is.
And I'm glad I found it while I was in my 30s. Thank God.
Right. Oh, man, I can't imagine where I'd be if I found it when I was in my 30s or even 20s. Or, you know, just if I was a kid and I knew about this, I don't know if I would do it, but because you're kind of indestructible when you're a kid. But
Yes. You can pretty much do anything. You can eat what you want and without suffering the consequences until you're a little older.
Right, for sure. Yeah, definitely can't do that now. So is there any social media channels that, you know, where you have an account that you want to get out there?
Yes. So it's actually my name, Lito Baldado, on Facebook.
Okay, awesome. Is that a Facebook page or is it just a private account or?
It's a personal profile.
Okay, cool. I'll go ahead and link that in the description below if that's okay with you.
No problem. To be honest, I was actually, I'm waiting for the week before Christmas because that's the time that I'm supposed to post my 6-year update. So I'm even going to make the post on the carnivore documentary community.
Okay.
I'm going to use that same post and you're going to see my picture from 6 years ago to today. And the night and the difference is actually night and day.
That's awesome, man. I can't wait for that. Yeah, just what I've seen already is incredible. So yeah, you look great. You sound great. And I'm sure that you're definitely going to inspire many to eat the proper human diet.
That's what we're here for, Adam. That's what we're here for. I mean, I know we don't have a lot of controlled research to do this. All we got is anecdotal evidence. But what else where we get that inspiration from, you know?
Absolutely, for sure. It's going to be individuals like yourself, like me and others with this anecdotal evidence. You know, you can't deny, you know, thousands and thousands of people saying, I reversed type 2 diabetes. You know, I got rid of all these autoimmune conditions, you know, and all these issues that people believe are incurable or not fixable. You know, you can't ignore those messages.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Lito, I appreciate your time. I thank you for joining me here. And until we meet again, thank you so much and appreciate you. And I wish you all the best.
It's a pleasure, Adam. Pleasure to meet you, too.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today.
We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.